Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
I wanted to sit with you today because I want to maybe focus us in a little bit different. I want us to lean in a little bit. So imagine with me that it's just you and me at a diner. You're drinking coffee because you're a sinner. I'm drinking sweet tea because I love the Lord. And as we're talking, you and I are having this conversation. That's how I want this to be today. Are you okay with me doing that? Are we together? Okay. Let me start with just a blanket statement. Life helps us lose focus. That's what happens. Life sets in. Worry sets in. Doubts, fears, failures. Life hits us between the eyes and it makes us lose focus. And since we're being real honest, me and you, let's both admit that we've lost focus from time to time. When it comes to the things of God, we've missed. We've taken moments and we tried something spiritually and it didn't work out. You went to youth camp as a student and it didn't really hit you right. You went on a mission trip and you felt like you wasted your time and money. You showed up to a revival service and the speaker wasn't your cup of tea. The song that you always sing in your car, they never sing at church. We've lost our focus. And because of it, listen, let's just be honest, you and I. It happens. Amen. The thing is, we can't stay there. There was this young guy. He was 10 years old. He was born without vision in one of his eyes. So his parents made a tough decision. They sent him and his uncle to America in hopes that they would heal him, that in America somehow his eyesight would get better. He was in the backyard playing, and he came to the front yard, and the friend across the street came over, and he said, "Hey, let's play." And this young man just said, "I don't have time. I'm sorry. We're about to go." And the friend pulled out a water gun and he shot it at this young kid. And he hit him in the good eye. A few days later, he lost all of his vision. And you know, we would all think, what a tragic story. And that may be it. Maybe that story helps you lose focus. But I would tell you today, the young man in question is blessing offer. The young man that's on the radio now singing praise songs to Jesus, look him up this week. Blessing would tell you that his parents named him correctly, that his name being a blessing would only work out when he quit allowing his eyesight to be the thing and when he started depending upon God. Amen. You know, I think sometimes in life when things happen for you and I, and the reason we lose so much focus is because when things happen, we take our eyes off of the things that matter. And so because of that, when we lose our focus, we'll put it on things that don't really matter in life. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is going to tell the church at Colossae. He's going to remind them that keeping their focus is exactly what makes us unique as Christians. The fact that we keep our focus on a God, on a Jesus that we can't see today. We see the evidences of him, but we don't physically see him. We can look up, like I've been doing this past few weeks, the archaeology of Jesus, the archaeology of the Bible, and we can see tangible times and places, and it validates our faith. But it's not our faith. Faith is the hope of something without seeing it. Amen. The certainty of something we can't touch or feel. We're living in a day where too many people have lost focus. So when they go to church and it didn't stir them, it didn't check that emotional box for them, or when life happens and it hits them deeply, and all of a sudden, because life hit them, they lose their focus and they walk away from Jesus because he can't be real if they're hurting. That's a loss of focus. And so that's what I want to talk to you today about. How do we avoid losing our focus? As believers, let's just be honest. Life is awful. The older I get, the worse it becomes. My world's not getting better. My body's not getting better. I ache when I've done nothing. I'll reach down to get stuff out of the dryer and I pull a muscle in my back. What? Man, when I was a teenager, I could work out all day. And I may hurt that day, the next day I'm fine. Now I sneeze wrong. I'm like, I think I ruptured my spleen. This is it, Lord. This is how I'm going to die. A sneeze did it. I'm going to meet that guy in heaven, by the way. Aren't y'all waiting for that guy? You're like, oh, how did you get here? Sneezed. It was bad. You're going to be like, brother, I've been there. I came back from that pit. But how do we not lose focus? Because if we're being honest, most of us, if not all of us, have spiritual ADD. We constantly are shifting our eyes to our own ways, our own thoughts, our own understanding, and we keep losing focus all the time. It's as though we don't even know how to gain focus anymore. You ever been to the eye doctor, the optometrist, and they put you behind that big thing and they say, which one's better, this one or this one? And you're like, B. And they go, okay, now this one or this one. Y'all with me? And finally you get to a place where you feel like you can see into the future. And then they make your glasses for you and they put them on you. And you're like, I don't know how to, I failed that test. I'm awful. I lied through all of it, I guess, because I don't know what this is, but this is not that clarity I thought I had. As Christians, let me give you a gift today. Anybody that says that they are living the Christian life with perfect 20/20 is a liar. Amen. Hindsight's always that, right? Because we gain wisdom from mistakes, but I want you to know something. No one ever except for Jesus lived perfectly. It doesn't mean that you and I don't need to strive in faith. It just means this. Hear me today. You're going to lose focus. Just don't lose the prize in front of you. Don't lose where you're going. So many people will lose focus nowadays, and they're going to find themselves uniquely never gaining perspective with Christ, only to find out that at the end of their life, they're all going to meet Jesus face to face and have to say to him, I'm sorry, I lost focus. The most beautiful part of this story, right before we go to text, is this. Many will enter into heaven. Scripture says as though escaping a fire. But they'll still be loved by a holy God. And he is their Savior. I don't know about you. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be somebody that is deeply in love with Jesus and choosing to live after him in such a way that people stand in awe, not of me, but of what God can do with a broken guy. But Lord, help me get there. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today in Colossians, help us to gain our focus. Lord, Scripture tells us that the trouble of this world and popularity and money and all these things will choose in our lives to help us go blurry. So God, help us to gain spiritual focus. Help us to be people that understand that you didn't come to save the saved. You came to save the lost. And we're in that box. And so, Lord, thank you for what you do with broken people. And thank you today that we can have this conversation. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning I woke up with a song in my heart. And I hummed it all morning. Typically on Sunday mornings while you guys are in life group and kind of our Sunday school model at our church. I tend to go back through the sermon. I re-preach it one more time. I take notes out of my sermon. And so it's just my notes. And the whole time I was doing that, I just kept singing this song time and time and time again because I know exactly where God has my heart when it pertains to Colossians chapter 3, if you want to find that in your Bible. And it's this: great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This is the beauty of the gospel. Not that you and I are ever faithful. We're not. We lose focus way too much. But he is faithful. And morning by morning, he continues to pour out mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, love upon love on those who don't deserve it. But praise God, he gives it. And I don't know about y'all, but I need it. Man, I need it so desperately in my life. And I'm so grateful for his faithfulness when I'm faithless. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, and he tells them this: so if you have been raised with Christ, verse 1, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is no Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Paul's trying to tell the church at Colossae, listen, we're going to lose focus. But how do you keep from drifting? When that loss of focus happens, what do you do? You and I in our lives, when our eyes get blurry, what do? We rub our eyes, right? Why? You ever wonder why we rub our eyes? It's instinctive. I mean, as babies, if you check babies, they rub their eyes. So why do we rub our eyes? You know what actually helps when your vision is blurry? Batting your eyes. You know, it's that little, creates tears, rejuvenates your eyeballs. Some of you need some extra help. You go and buy that cool little eye drops that I can't do for whatever reason. My hands and my eyes do not agree. I can be like this. I'm like, here it comes. And as soon as that little drop leaves there, my eyelids go, nope. It's like Makembe Mutombo of eyelids. It's like, no, no, no. It just blocks it every time. But we need sometimes some clarity. And what I've discovered in my life is this. Pastors make bad clarity. We do. We make bad clarity. Teachers make bad clarity. They do. Your parents, your coworkers, your kids, your classmates, TV preachers, YouTube preachers, we all make bad clarity. You know why? We're all broken vessels. So if you hear somebody teaching you that they've got it together or that they have the way and it's not Jesus, that should give you some really good cause for concern. Amen. Jesus followers keep their minds focused on his purposes. So when you and I find ourselves blurry or foggy in our focus, what we do is we remember who we're following and we get back to track again. Maybe in your life, and man, I've felt this from time to time, you don't know where that is. You've prayed, and it feels like you've asked the same question time and time and time again, and there is no real answer for that. And you're like, Lord, I need your help here. I don't know what to do. And it feels like you're not getting that answer. Have you ever felt like that? This preacher from back in the day, Charles Spurgeon, really important preacher. I hope that you'll read some of his stuff. He was interviewed by a newspaper guy, and the newspaper man asked the question, Pastor Spurgeon, what's more important, prayer or reading your Bible? Brother Spurgeon leaned back in his chair. He kind of giggled to himself, and he leaned back forward, and he said, let me ask you a question. Which is more important, inhaling or exhaling? I've discovered in my life when I found times that I haven't found my focus, I need to go back to the most simple things. Prayer and time in God's Word. Amen. I've discovered in my life, and this may be true for you or not, I don't know, but too often in my life, I've spent too much time asking God questions that he's already given the answer to in Scripture. And so I'm asking him to do something contrary to what he's already said. That's why we have to spend that time. And that might sound like a broken record to you today. You've been to church maybe all your life, and you've heard people say, you should read your Bible and pray. And at this point, you've just gone, done it. Done it. I've prayed enough prayers in my life, and I've read the Scriptures enough. No, you haven't. I promise you, you haven't. You know how I know this? Any of y'all have a favorite TV show in this room? Like one that you would just say, I could watch it time and time and time again and never grow old? Maybe it's the Andy Griffith show for some of y'all, Carol Burnett show. That's maybe for some of y'all it's Friends, Scrubs. I mean, everything after the 90s is junk, but whatever other shows y'all have watched that you would say, that is my favorite show of all time, if that's you, how many times have you watched that show or that particular episode that you really love? I mean, in my life, I've got one. Seinfeld for me growing up. I've watched some episodes of that show hundreds of times. I could tell you what they're going to say next. Like, I've watched it that much that I can just, there's the next line. And so that next line, boom, I'm on it. I already know what they're going to say. I mean, Kenny Rogers Chicken. That episode alone is one of my favorites of all time. Look that up. Anyways, but some of us have done that. Maybe it's MASH for you, whatever show that was, or Cheers, or whatever you want it to be. You've watched those particular episodes time and time and time again, and no time in your life did you go, you know what, I've seen that episode. I'm done with it. I mean, how many times do you need to see Barney Fife put himself in prison and let the captor go? We've seen it. Done it. It's gone. But you watch it every time, don't you? Let me give you one more. Carol Burnett cutting the curtains, having the curtain rod going across her shoulders and coming down to... We've seen it, right? We know the episode. Every time it's on TV, what do? Yeah, you already know what's going to happen. In fact, you and I, if y'all haven't seen this, look this up. When the episode starts, you look at the curtains, don't you? Because why? We already know what's going to happen. But we keep watching it, even though we know the outcomes. We do it time and time again because it becomes a part of us, a familiarity, family to us. This is exactly what Christ gives us with Him. He wants familiarity. He wants you, when you open Scripture, to go, oh, I love this part. I love this particular Scripture. He wants prayer to not be some rehearsed thing. He wants it to be real and genuine. He doesn't want you to pray a stock prayer. He wants you to know Him. And so that's why we say this time and time again. Pray, read your Bible. The reason is there's a familiarity that shows up. And I'll just tell you, I've said this before, and the camera can't really pick this up, but I'm marking my Bible. And every single time I'm reading back through Scriptures, especially during this New Testament reading that we're doing together, Scripture just comes renewed to me. I've read it. Listen, this is like the... I've had lots of Bibles in my life, but in my adult life, this may be my seventh Bible. And every single one of them is marked, most of the time, with the same Scriptures. I've gone back and looked at other Bibles that I've used in preaching and teaching, and I've got same things marked, but that particular time, it hit me so differently. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. I just love how Scripture does that. And I think in our lives, if you and I, if we really spent time focused, we would begin to see that while God never changes, in seasons He changes our understanding. He's going to shift you from one way of thinking into His way of thinking. And in this last season, you couldn't get there. You couldn't have understood Him. You couldn't have connected with Him here. Things had to happen so that when you got here, you could understand it. You could connect with it. And that's why we've got to keep going back to His Word. That's why we got to keep praying through. Because at a certain point when we finally go, ah, I get it. That's why. That's why we keep doing it. And it may seem mundane at first. It may seem like a chore at first. But I promise you, keep going. Don't stop. Those that keep their focus don't because of their own way. They do it because they lean into Jesus, and He helps them keep their focus. You ever seen a preschool walk from one side of the school to the other? Typically, they do the same thing. They have this long rope, and it has handles attached. And they tell their preschoolers, okay, everybody get in line. And the first kid always changes because that kid wants to be first. And he holds that one. They get in line. They all hold their little handles. And there's a rope, and the teacher has the end of it. And she says, come with me. And they start walking across the school. And the reason that they hold on to the rope is because every preschooler does the exact same thing. They lose focus instantly. Something new on the wall, the janitor sweeping, a song being played from a classroom, another kid. And what you'll discover is this. Preschoolers will walk, and if something catches their attention, they stop. You know what keeps them going? the rope. It pulls them along. This is faith. Amen. Faith is this, holding on as well as you can, knowing that Jesus will pull you along.
Amen.
The trouble is, we live in a day where so many are letting go. Something has caught their eye. Something has moved them from obedience into lawlessness. That's what Scripture calls it. And they don't even know that they're not experiencing true life. I've been spending some time lately listening to people that are deconstructing their faith. It's just people that are going through their walk with the Lord and saying, I have questions, and so I give up. And they go, and on the other side of that is freedom. On the other side of that is just so much fun and joy because nothing matters. And on my side of it, I'm going, everything matters. Everything matters. It has a purpose. It has a creator. And when life happens, I need the rope. Because too often in my life, and maybe this isn't you, maybe this isn't you today, but I find myself in pits a lot. Maybe this isn't you. Maybe I'm just talking to you. And you and I, we can agree here. We feel like we're in pits sometimes. And in those moments, I'm not being pulled along. I'm being rescued. One of the things I'll say is, in my life, I'm so thankful for the moments of rescue.
Amen.
I don't know where you are today. Not in your faith journey, but I'll just tell you, we all need rescue.
Amen.
And if that's you today, I'm glad you didn't come to me for that. I make a bad hero. But I pray you'll go to Jesus. When Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, he says these words, "Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way." Paul got it. He was blurry-eyed from time to time too. But he just kept running. He kept running when he didn't feel like it. He kept running when he was imprisoned, shipwrecked, beaten, called out, forgotten, lied about. He just kept going. And I think the reason he could do that is because he understood what he left behind. He saw the enormous weight of what he used to be. And that's what we've got to do. We must continually put to death the things that change our focus.
Amen.
We have to constantly be going, you know what? That does not lead me closer to the Lord. It has to die to me.
Yes.
And the thing about death is this. No one should carry their own death around. It's not how you were created to be. You're supposed to leave those things behind and let them die.
Amen.
Martin Luther, during the Reformation, there was a term that he used often. It's coram Deo. He used it because he thought it would be transformative. And it was a way to live our lives. And it's this, before the face of God. If you and I would just live coram Deo, if we were just living our lives perpetually before the face of God, it would change us.
Amen.
Martin Luther offered that most of us live our lives almost as though God is a side note and religion is the thing to live before. That was his argument in his time. Many people were living their lives before the face of their faith or their religion and not before the face of God. Because I want you to know today, you can lie to your religion. You can lie to your faith. You can tell yourself that you've got it put together and that you've not done anything wrong. You can lie to yourself in the mirror, but you can't lie to God. God knows the heart. So when we live our lives before the face of God, we have to put in front of us an equation. Who do we live our lives for? An audience or God? Who gets our faith? Who gets our devotion? Is it the applause of men? I tell you, I don't even think most people live for the applause of God. They just look for the sparing of God. And so they just hope that they don't do too much wrong. And they've done enough right. Can I just tell you today? Neither of those two things save you.
Amen.
Only Jesus. And so Paul, when he writes to the church at Colossae, he tells them to put to death these old things, these old ways, even the current ways. Remember, he tells them not only those sinful things, but also the things that you think don't matter, like anger and wrath and malice and slander and even filthy language. He says those things are culturally acceptable, but not for you. You have been purchased and loved by God. Those aren't for you. And then he tells them something that I think, you know, I've told you before, I don't think anything's by accident in Scripture. Every time something's repeated, it's so that we catch it. Kind of like, pay attention. And so he says this to the church in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 3. Above all, put on love.
Amen.
Which is the perfect bond of unity.
Amen.
Put on love. Above everything else, put on love. Above everything else.
Amen.
Be known by this. Let this be exactly who you are. Love. Why? Because it's the best exhibited nature of God is love.
Amen.
And his love comes without any strings attached. He doesn't look at race or background or how far ruined we are in faith. He doesn't look at any of that. He just loves. And he says, whosoever will may come. Which means, today, if you feel like you've gone too far from God, you haven't.
Amen.
If you feel like you've been rejected by everybody else, it's okay. God doesn't. God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. He did so because of love. Because he loves. John 13, Jesus says this, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another.
Amen.
I believe that the church at Colossae was living in a day of really false love, broken love, terribly defined love. Men and women would walk the streets to temples, to foreign gods, and to known gods of their time, and those gods did nothing for them. They never sacrificed for them. They never returned favor in their lives. These gods stood made by human hands, and never once did they do anything for them. And maybe that's what you think about our God. You've shown up to church, you've served, you've given, you're faithful, but you feel like God's failed you. He hasn't answered those prayers you've prayed, or maybe he did answer and it wasn't the way you thought. And so You may come to church still, but you come to church because you don't want that person to call you and ask you where you've been. But it's not because you believe anymore. It's because you just don't want the irritation of not showing up. I want you to know something about God. God doesn't want to hurt anyone. He loves his creation so much that sometimes he says no because it's the best for you and I. And we may not feel that every day. I know I don't. So I told you, it's a conversation between you and I at a diner. So let's be real. There's some days that I have a lot of questions for God. I'm like, why this? Where were you when that happened? Why didn't you step in? Did you not care? I mean, is that the kind of God you are, that you just kind of, you're cosmically out there and we just have to kind of do this on our own and praise you anyway? Is that how this works? Does God not care? You ever felt like this? Just me? I mean, it's okay. Listen, everybody's listening in, but I don't even care right now. I want you to know, as a preacher at a church, there's sometimes I ask God what happened. And there's some answers I've never gotten. And I had to make a choice in my life. Am I going to tell God I'm done? Or am I going to wait and see? Amen. A lot of people are choosing to tell God they're done because he didn't show up the way they wanted him to, believing that their way was better, or their thoughts are better, or their judgment's better. And let me just tell you what I'm learning about God the longer I spend time with him. He's big enough for my questions. He's big enough for my doubts, my fears. In those moments that I don't understand and I ask him for clarity and he doesn't give it, I think sometimes that's grace. Because I think there's times in my life that I want an answer that I don't really want to have. And there's times, like this morning, to get to baptize two sisters. And to see their walk after Jesus that's so new and fresh and powerful, that I'm reminded that that's exactly the kind of faith that Christ called me to.
Amen.
You don't have to be a theologian to believe. You have to be like a child.
Amen.
So how do we not lose focus, me and you? How do you and I not lose focus? We keep his word before us.
Amen.
We inhale again.
Yes.
So let me tell you exactly how I feel that looks. I think prayer is a persistent exhaling of praise, of questions, of doubts and fears. Again, let me just remind you, God is not shocked by what's in your heart. He already knows it. Sometimes he just hopes that your mouth will tell him exactly what your heart's feeling. So if you're angry, I think you should say it. I don't believe that God's going to go, "You're angry with me? I am God. How dare thou?" Because I think he talks in King James. Or Morgan Freeman, one of the two. Instead, I believe he is a loving father.
Amen.
Who sees his children far away running in, smelling like pig pens, like the prodigal son. And he always says, "Kill the fatted calf. as my child's home. Every morning for me, when I wake up and I spend time with the Savior, I get to say to Him things like, Lord, You know where I failed You. You know the brokenness that I'm bringing to this prayer time. Would You forgive me where I failed You?
Amen.
And Lord, would You fill me with Yourself again? Would You give me faith where I don't have it? Would You give me grace where I'm going to mess up today? And Lord, today, would You lead me to Your word?
Amen.
Help me to be a man of prayer beyond meals and just in everyday conversation. And what I've discovered is this. My prayer life has become best served not in elongated moments, but in every moment where I'm just driving to go talk to somebody about Jesus or meeting a friend. And I say things like, Lord, give me Your words. It's best in moments where I see an ambulance driving down the street and I go, Lord, I don't know where that ambulance is going, but would You be with them? It's in moments where I enter in the parking lot of this church, get out and I walk through this worship center on Sunday mornings, and I pray for You. And my prayer is, Lord, make us real today. Help us to be genuine today. No fake Christians today. Help us to be changed by You. Would Your presence fill this place? And would we genuinely start to have a relationship with You? Not a faith, not a religion, a relationship.
Amen.
Genuine. I pray prayers like, Lord, who's ever going to sit in this pew today if they don't know You as Savior and Lord? Would You lead them to understand Jesus' love and sacrifice for them? Would You help them to understand what sin is, that it separates us from You? And would You in some way inspire their heart to finally say, I submit to Jesus?
Amen.
This morning I prayed that over a pew. I'm not going to tell you who I prayed that for. I've looked at you several times today in the pew that you're in and prayed that again for you, even as I was preaching. I don't know if you know Jesus, but I pray today that there would be no doubt in your mind.
Amen.
I pray that you would leave this place knowing full and well that you have placed your hope and trust in Jesus. And even though life has made you lose focus, that today you would feel like you have regained it.
Yes.
My prayer today is this. As you and I've sat here and had this conversation, maybe for the first time in a long time, you feel like somebody gets you. Like genuinely understands what it's like to be you. Because I want you to know something. You and I, we're the same before the Lord. We need the same amount of grace and love and mercy.
Amen.
Just because I sit in this chair today and you're sitting in that pew doesn't make us special or unique differently. We all need Jesus.
Amen.
And that's my prayer for you. That
you
wouldn't leave here without Him. So, here's what we're going to do. Brian, why don't you and your team go ahead and come up. Today, maybe you have questions, and you don't know exactly what to do about those. You've thought about it, but no one's really ever answered the questions you have in faith. I want to offer to you something. As your pastor, I want this to be a place where questions can be asked. And so if you have questions and you just needed to talk to somebody, I would love to meet with you and talk to you about that. I think it matters that you feel like somebody cares enough to answer some questions. Let me just be honest with you. I've got some. I've got some questions that I don't have answers to. But I want you to know something about Jesus. Never once when I've prayed have I ever heard Him say, and stop. I'm done talking to you. I'm Jesus. You're a man. Move on. No, instead, I find myself praying to a God that always listens.
Amen.
And He's going to be that for you too.
Yes.
So today, if you have a question about knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, I and some friends will be here to meet with you. We'd love to talk to you about knowing Jesus. Maybe you have a prayer request that you're battling with, and you need others to join with you as you're praying through that. And I would love to meet with you and pray with you about that as well. Today, don't leave this building without knowing Jesus. Don't do it. Know Him today. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to worship together. And I'd love for you to come and ask about this Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room. Lord, I pray for that pew today. God, I pray that you would just, who's ever in that pew that's been asking questions and not knowing of Jesus, that today would be their day. God, thank you that we can count upon you. Thank you that we can call upon you. Thank you that you're always near, that you always desire to speak. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that even though we're broken people, in a generation of broken people, that you still have mercy upon us. God, thank you that you still call people and lead people. God, thank you that you give us opportunity to be saved at all. So God, today we pray that you would speak, and God, that we would listen. Lord, watch over this time together. Lord, I pray for my friends in this room that have been battling a decision to follow after you, and they've waited. But God, that today would be the day that they come to know you as Savior and Lord. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know Him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.